Hello and welcome to the Bible Difficulties and Answers podcast. I'm your host, Lance Smith. Today, we delve into Genesis 4:26, seeking to ascertain the origins of worship of God. Did it commence with Cain and Abel, or did it begin later with Enosh and the descendants of Seth? Does this verse shed light on how even a frail and weak individual could have played a role in initiating the first public worship among their people? Furthermore, do the theological implications of this verse extend beyond a surface interpretation? As usual, I'll present a number of different opinions from my research and conclude with my own thoughts. Show notes will include links to all we discuss. Are you ready to dive in? All right, let's learn together. We'll look at Genesis 4:26 from the New Living Translation, and it says, "When Seth grew up, he had a son and named him Enosh. At that time, people first began to worship the Lord by name." Okay, so the main thing we're grappling with is how we define the word began. Let's kick things off by checking out the Big Book of Bible Difficulties to get a clearer picture of what exactly the problem is. And I quote, "According to this verse, people did not begin to call on the name of the Lord until the days of Enosh, grandson of Adam and Eve. Yet, their second son, Abel, brought an acceptable sacrifice to the Lord before this time, as we saw in Genesis 4, verses 3 and 4. All right, close quote. All right, let's take a look at a potential solution to this problem. And again, we'll go back to the Big Book of Bible Difficulties. All right, the meaning of "call upon the name of the Lord" here from verse 26 is not clear. And what is not clear cannot be taken to contradict what is clear, namely that Abel worshiped God before Enosh did. It is possible that calling on the Lord implied a regular, more solemn, and/or public worship of the Lord or prayer that was not practiced earlier. At any rate, there is no contradiction here, since it does not say that Abel or anyone else called on the Lord before this time, whatever it may mean. Close quote. All right, I believe the Big Book of Bible Difficulties is heading in the right direction by suggesting that began might refer to a regular, more solemn, and/or public worship of the Lord. It's important to note that the descendants of Cain weren't entirely disconnected from the descendants of Seth. As we discussed in a previous episode, the land of Nod translates to a land of wandering, which is precisely what Cain's descendants did until the establishment of the city of Enoch. So essentially, we have two competing groups, and I think this verse is shedding light on that dynamic. Now, longstanding and attentive listeners understand the value of consulting the original Hebrew to grasp the essence of a challenging Bible verse. However, as we'll explore in this discussion, there are four distinct ways to interpret this verse, each yielding significantly different conclusions. All right, so once more, let's delve into Hebrew to shed light on the matter. Rabbi David Rosenfeld, from the article Enosh, Calling God's Name and the Origins of Idolatry, and I quote, and it's a long quote, but just hang with me here. I begin, "The first step towards understanding that phrase is in looking at the original Hebrew. The word for began in mankind began calling is hukal. That word has two very different possible meanings, to begin or to become profane. Based on these interpretations, two very different explanations are offered as follows. First, the phrase means that in Enosh's time, it became profane to call in the name of the Lord. The reason it became profane is because people began applying the name God to non-sacred objects, such as heavenly bodies and human beings. Thus, calling in the name of God in those times had become a profane activity, one of worshiping idols. Maimonides, it's a rabbi writing from 12th century Spain, explains how the world sunk to idolatry so quickly, a mere two generations after Adam and Eve. People at first felt that honoring God's heavenly bodies, which assist God in governing the world, would serve as a means of honoring God himself, just as people give homage to a king's ministers. Enosh himself fell for this logic. They began praising the heavenly bodies, bowing to them, and bringing them offerings, all in the name of honoring the God they serve. All of this was wrong, however, as honor may only be accorded to God himself. All else is idolatry. And after time, mankind began serving such heavenly bodies as gods themselves, forgetting altogether the true God behind them. Okay, number two, based on the other explanation of hukal, began. The meaning is that in Enosh's time, mankind began calling out to and praying to the true God. Some of the commentators explain that the implication is likewise that the masses had begun sliding toward idolatry in Enosh's days. Thus, the righteous began calling God's name and publicizing it to counter the trend. All right, now we also have explanations 3 and 4. In truth, the Torah's phrase is so vague that variations of the above two explanations also appear in the commentators. The meaning of hukal can possibly be began, but in a negative sense, that mankind began calling non-sacred objects God. Or hukal could mean profane in the sense that mankind began looking at true God worship as a profane and pointless activity, instead turning to idols. Regardless, our tradition is that Enosh's generation served as a tragic turning point in mankind's history. In man's spiritual decline towards idolatry, this tragically occurred quite early in Adam's very lifetime, close quote. All right, back to me. 2 points stand out to me in this article. First, I find his conclusion about humanity's spiritual decline into idolatry during Adam's lifetime to be particularly insightful. It's crucial to remember that we're several generations removed now from the Great Flood, which nearly wiped out humanity entirely, except for a small remnant. Secondly, his explanation of hukal as signifying mankind beginning to call out and pray to the true God seems to make the most sense in understanding what's happening in this verse. Now, perhaps Enosh himself played a role in why they started calling out to and praying to the true God. Continuing with this vein, John Reese, from the article, What the Bible Says About Enosh, says, in the days of Enosh, Seth's son, men began to call on the name of the Lord. Many commentators say that Enosh means weak or frail man, mortal, sickly man. But a related word in Arabic, Anas, means to be sociable and familiar, not only in civil, but in religious things. And this is from Gill's exposition of the entire Bible. Gill extrapolates that in Enosh's time, the families of good men, being larger and more numerous, they joined together in social and public worship, in contrast to the descendants of Cain. Their aim seems to have been for personal enrichment and empowerment. Gill proposes that, at this time, Seth's progeny began to identify themselves by or with the name of the Lord, close quote. Okay, so although the descendants of Seth outnumbered those of Cain, there was something about Enosh, perhaps his physical condition, as was just previously mentioned, that struck a chord with others, prompting them to initiate a public worship. All right, let's delve further into this idea. Warren Rearsby, from his article, Enosh Calling on God, says, Seth was 105 years old when his son Enosh was born. And this is from Genesis 5, verse 6. Enosh means man and comes from a Hebrew word that means frail, weak. It's the word for man that emphasizes how fragile and weak we really are in ourselves. A remarkable thing is recorded in connection with the birth of this boy. At that time, people began to gather together to worship God, proclaim his name, and pray. There was a revival of public worship and a believing prayer as the descendants of Seth met together in the name of the Lord. While the worldly Cainites were boasting of their strength and valor, the godly Sethites were giving glory to the name of the Lord, close quote. All right, back to me. This brings us to a solid conclusion. It's clear that both Abel and Cain had personal beliefs in worship God, which aligns with this Bible verse. So no contradiction there. While there are various interpretations of the word hukal, the one that defines it as calling out to and praying to the true God appears to be the most fitting translation here. Additionally, the definition of the Hebrew name Enosh as a frail or weak man leading in public worship alongside Seth's descendants, as opposed to Cain's descendants boasting of their own strength and valor, truly encapsulates the essence of this verse. This concept is beautifully illustrated in the Psalms, where we find ourselves weak and surrounded by enemies, turning to God for help. It's fascinating to unpack the theological significance of this single verse, which I suspect many of us may have overlooked, yet it does hold immense depth. Next week, we're delving into an intriguing topic as we examine Genesis 5:1. We'll be exploring the puzzle of aligning the chronology, which suggests humanity emerged around 4,000 years BC, with the findings of anthropology indicating a much older history for humankind. I'm looking forward to this podcast, and I hope you are as well. You may reach out to us at our website, BibleDifficulties.podbean.com, or you may reach out to me directly at our email address, BibleDifficultiesAndAnswers@gmail.com, with any questions, comments, concerns, fits of righteous indignation, or just to say hi. Also, please like and subscribe to this podcast, and also write a review and give it a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Spotify, and Spotify now offers an exciting opportunity for you to give me direct feedback on each podcast episode or any of your podcast venues of choice. It really does help get the word out about the most amazing book ever written. Again, I'm Lance Smith. Until next time, I wish you good luck, good health, and God bless. So long, everybody.